Trying to spin, stripped to the ball.
Oh, no.
Comes a great pass to Durant, who tomahawks it home.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another good one for you today. Going to be a quick one because the Warriors absolutely smoked the Lakers. Have the Cavs tonight, but some good post-game sound, some good numbers to come out of this Lakers game. And Boogie, man, might be getting that three-point shot back. All that's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. If you're looking for Locked On Warriors, you need to get the Himalaya Podcast app. You can get all your podcasts from there, just like you can get Locked On Warriors on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, all that stuff. Just tell your smart device to play Locked On Warriors. But get the Himalaya Podcast app. That's where we're at. The Dubs took on the Lakers last night, and it was ugly, but it was what you'd expect for the most part because the Warriors smacked them, which is good to see because we've seen before where the Warriors play down to their opponents. You know, they just don't really care, which is understandable too. I mean, game, what, 78, 79 against the friggin' Lakers, who have wrapped it up, who, you know, are starting their G League team pretty much. But the Warriors did not play down to them. They came out relatively focused. Defensively, they played well. Offensively, you know, left something to be desired because Klay and Steph together went to combined 6 of 25. And Steph actually went 1 of 9 from 3. Steph had 7 points, but he did have 10 rebounds, 7 assists. So it was, I don't know, the outcome was great. The game was not really. Warriors won 108-90. It was, it was never in question, ever. From the first minute, you know, I think the Warriors went up 14-4, and I think they had a 27-point lead at a certain point in the, well, not at a certain point in the first quarter, at the end of the first quarter, they were up 39-12. They allowed 12 points in the first quarter. So, I mean, man, there's not a ton to get to on this game. Warriors kicked their ass, and they should have. A couple of positives, though, there are a couple things to take out of it. That Draymond went 2 for 3 from 3, had 12 points, solid for him. KD only took 7 shots. I mean, it was ugly. It was, they might have well played a G League team. But one of the good things was they kind of played a gimmicky defense to the Lakers where they would focus mostly, obviously, on Steph, Klay, and KD, but sag off of Boogie and Draymond at the three-point line. And Boogie ended up taking 7 threes. He knocked down 3 of them, though. That's the positive part. And he's knocked down multiple threes for the first time in back-to-back games for the first time in, I think, 24 games. So the fact that that three-point shot is coming back will be huge, especially if it maintains, you know, throughout the playoffs. That would be huge. He's obviously playing great down low. As far as his post game is concerned, his touch around the rim, his return. But if that 3-point shot comes back, man, forget about it. This team is unstoppable. As far as some other positives, Alphonso McKinney played pretty well. He went 1 of 3 from 3, but the fact that he's hitting any is a positive, especially after the slump he's been in. And they would prefer, like I said, they'd prefer that he can hit threes. If there's any, I mean, obviously they'd prefer he can hit threes, but if there's any bench player that they would like to, outside of Iguodala and Livingston, that they would like to play well, that they would prefer to play, it's Alphonso McKinney because of his size, because of his positional versatility, all that stuff. You know, Quinn's been killing it lately, but regardless of how well he plays, there's going to be matchups where they just can't play him. because of his defensive liabilities, mostly because of his defensive liabilities, if we're being honest. So McKinney played fine, played well. Maybe I'm reaching a little bit, but Quinn did play well also. He went 8 of 13, 2 of 6 from 3, obviously not great. But he did, after missing his first couple, he kept shooting, knocked down two of them, which is something I like to see because, you know, some guys get discouraged after they miss one or two and won't keep putting them up. And the bottom line is you need to. That's what kills Draymond sometimes and can kill the offense, is when they leave him wide open and he doesn't take it, then there's zero threat of it. You have to at least have the threat. So him going 2 of 6 is fine, not great, but fine. Damian Lee got a couple minutes, which was good to see. I mean, it's not impossible for him to be on the playoff roster, but it's close to impossible. They would have to cut someone, but he's still eligible. But he had a good couple minutes. So it was it was an ass-kicking, dude. It's tough to really get into this too much. Like, Quinn Cook was the number two scorer for the Warriors. There's not a ton to say. Some fun highlights. I mean, that's the other thing. They went kind of hot sauce on him, started taking some ill-advised threes. Like, they lost their focus at certain points, but never enough to turn it into a game. So the Warriors got the easy win. Quinn Cook was the second leading scorer. So, I mean, that kind of says something. No offense to Quinn. You all know I love him and his game. But, yeah. And just watching the game, like, I know LeBron wasn't in there, or Kuzma or Ball or any of that other stuff. So you don't get the complete picture, but looking at, you know, JaVale McGee and Rajon Rondo and Lance Stevenson, it's just like, this is really the team that they put together thinking would work. It's just unbelievable. I don't know what people make the argument, oh, well, they signed him to 1-year deal so they could try and trade him and get Anthony Davis or whatever. Okay, well, you didn't. And now you have guys like Rajon Rondo, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Lance Stevenson, and you traded Zubats for Mike Muscala. Here's the thing, man. Like, people want to make excuses for Magic and Rob Pelinka, and that's fine. But bad moves are bad moves. Like, I don't understand why people are sitting there like, oh, yeah, you know, they're doing fine. It's, you know, they tried something this year, it didn't work. The Mike Muscala for Zubac trade is so dumb. You know, people want to bring up D'Angelo Russell. He wasn't as good as he is now when he was with the Lakers. But it's on management, it's on the scouts, it's on the coaches to be able to realize, to make the right decisions. And so the bottom line is they made the wrong decision with D'Angelo Russell. You can't blame them too much, but to be able to see that he could develop into this type of player that he is now with Brooklyn, that's on them to make that decision. I'm not saying they traded that player that he is now, but it's on the coaches, scouts, et cetera, player development, to recognize that he could become that. So that's a miss. They let Julius Randle walk. Guess how much money Julius Randle signed for? $9 million. Guess how much money they're paying Rajon Rondo? $9 million. I'm so sick of hearing about Rajon Rondo, his high IQ, and how good he is. He's not good. He's not. He's at best a backup. Here's my question. Who's he playing for next year? Phoenix or Orlando? Because that's his only two options. The two teams that need point guards, that's it. And if I'm Phoenix or Orlando, I don't bring him in. So there's part of my Lakers rant. But the Zubac trade was absolutely ridiculous. They just gave him up for nothing for Mike Muscala, who is a player that I like. But when you have a young center at a position you are incredibly weak at, and he's clearly your best, and you trade him for a guy who you want shooting from, who's not that great of a shooter, at least not this year, and bottom line plays a position where a shooter isn't really necessary, and you had Mo Wagner if you wanted to, you know, try and work in a shooter. Thomas Bryant, also, I know he's not a stud, but he's a good player, and he's better than what they have at center. I can't allow these misses and mistakes to go unnoticed and just be happy that Magic is, you know, in the NBA or something, or the Lake Show and LeBron. No, they've had a terrible year and have made a bunch of bad decisions. Getting LeBron helps clear all that up, but man, it has been bad. It's been bad. And who knows what's going to happen next with them. Anyways, Warriors win 108-90. Sorry, that was my Lakers rant. I could go on a lot longer, but I'm not going to. We're going to take a break, come back. Listen to some post-game sound. That's one of the good things that came from this game, was some good post-game sound. So we're going to get to that coming up next. But first, Wyze is the new indoor camera that does it all. Wyze is packed with premium features that allow you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. 1080 full HD. Images so clear you won't miss a thing. Night vision, two-way audio. I mean, what else could you want from an in-home camera? Wyze's mission is to bring amazing smart home products accessible to everyone. Check on your home anytime with Wyze apps, live stream, connect with life as it unfolds in clear, sharp focus. You can live stream with up to 8x digital zoom. Not only that, when you sign up for Wyze, you get 14-day cloud storage. That's free rolling 14-day cloud storage. 2 weeks worth of free storage, man. I will take that. You can do anything with Wyze. You can watch your kids destroy your house. Bird watching. Watch food simmer on the stove for a few hours. Watch the laundry, man. Know when it's time to go handle it. Watching over your water softener to know when you need more salt. Watching plants go through time lapse. Watching contractors repave your driveway through time lapse. You want more? They got that too. For just $10 more, Wyze Campan gives you 360-degree coverage in under 3 seconds. Life moves fast. Your camera should too. 110-degree rotation speed, 360-degree horizontal range, 93-degree vertical range. Patrol your room with pan scan. Set the camera's patrol route with up to 4 custom waypoints. Track the action. Wyze Campan automatically detects, tags, and tracks motion within its field of view. Keeping up with life in real time has never, ever been so easy. Works with Alexa. You can control it anywhere from anywhere with your phone, and you get free rolling 14-day cloud storage. Go to wyze.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price. That's wyze.com/locked. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. And we just talked about the Warriors smacking the Lakers, getting an 18-point win, which was not indicative of the game. I mean, the Warriors had a 27-point win at the end of the first. It was long over before the final whistle. One of the good things about last night, though, was Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala, and Andrew Bogut were all out. Sean and Bogut was mostly rest. Andre probably the same, too, but they did say, I think, hamstring tightness or something. They gave him some sort of ailment. We'll see if he plays tonight. Not sure. But it was good to see them play well without all their guys, even though, yes, I know they were playing basically the South Bay Lakers, but it was still good because we've seen this team play down to their talent before. Play down to their opponents before. So good to see. Steve Kerr talked about wanting to continue to get guys rest leading up to the playoffs. Here's what Steve had to say.
Yeah, there are no plans to rest anybody tomorrow. From the core, yeah. Main core. I mean, yeah, we already announced who's missing. DeMarcus will sit tomorrow, but we're not quite home yet. You know, we gotta win a couple more, or have Denver lose, a game or whatever it is. So we'll figure that out as we go.
Do you want to get those guys at least one night each? Or?
It'd be nice for them not to play in that back-to-back, yeah. And so maybe we'll do something there, but we got to get there first.
What have you liked about
there's Steve Kerr just on rest and how he would like to handle the team moving forward in the last 4 games of the season. He mentioned tonight against the Cavs, besides Boogie, no one is going to be out for rest. And the Boogie thing is smart. Look, I'm sure he could play in a back-to-back if they needed him to. But the bottom line is they haven't needed him to, especially considering he came in with like 30-something games left and only so many back-to-backs. They just said it's not necessary. It's not necessary to play him in back-to-backs. If it's an added risk, we don't need to take that risk. The most important thing for him is to get into shape and get ready for playoffs. And guess what? No back-to-backs in the playoffs. So Boogie will be out tonight. Andre Iguodala, still haven't heard yet. The original plan was for him to sit out tonight and play last night, but then he was a late scratch from the game last night, so who knows how real the ailment is, or if it was just we're switching up nights, or we'll see. But besides that, no one else is out for rest, and he did mention he would like to sit some of the main guys out over the last back-to-back, which are the last two games of the year, April 9th and 10th against New Orleans and then against Memphis the next night. So that's the plan. We'll see how it works out. He talked about Denver and the situation with the one seed, and I think once he once the team locks up the one seed officially, that's when you'll see the rest. And I think that's why he also picked that last back-to-back, hoping that they'd have it locked up by then. In what was a pretty boring game last night, there was one awesome highlight of Steph doing a left-handed behind-the-back, you know, almost full-court pass to KD in transition for a dunk. And KD was asked about that play and if it was Steph's best pass ever, to at least to him. And KD didn't think so. Here's what he had to say.
Nah, that's not the first time he threw a lefty behind the back.
It's probably the more spectacular one that we've seen.
Nah, he had some better passes than that one, but that was a great pass. That was a good look. But that's normal for him.
Can you name a better pass?
The Lakers in preseason, the first year I got here, he did the same thing, same type of pass, and I hit Clay for a three. He did that two times in a row. I remember that game. And but he got some passes that he go left hand from the other side of the court to the other corner. I mean, he's a phenomenal passer with his left hand.
And finally, KD is, for the first time in his career, going to be going to the playoffs that doesn't involve LeBron James. I talked about the failure of the Lakers organization. Here's what KD had to say about this first trip to the playoffs with no LeBron.
That's not really strange because, you know, he's been on the East Coast for so long, you know, it's like, you only run into him in the finals, you know what I'm saying? It's weird playing on the West Coast. It don't feel any different, but, you know, see how many years he's played in the playoffs in the league and how precious the summers are for us as players, you know, when we get to kind of relax and get away from the game and get away from the life a little bit. This is his first time in a while, so I wonder how that's going to be for him, you know, right after the season. He get to, you know, kind of do his thing a little earlier than usual. So I'm sure he needs the rest. I'm sure he's, you know, pumped and excited about stepping into a summer and getting a whole summer to work on his game and his body and everything that he loves to do. So
last question.
I know there's going to be a little weird for him. I definitely want to ask him about.
So there's KD, pretty diplomatic in his response, you know, and it's true. He was in the Eastern Conference. He only played him in the finals. He's only played LeBron in the playoffs, I think, three times, once with OKC and then twice with the Warriors, and he's 2-1 against him. So it's not that weird, and he wasn't taking a shot, but I do like that he was like, you know, yeah, I got to ask him what it's like to have the summer off. I thought that was funny. Anyways, going to take a quick break, come back, maybe talk about tonight's game against the Cavs, but it's kind of similar to last night's game against the Lakers. Not much there to break down. Some interesting boogie numbers and a quick look at the standings. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, what's good? Just finished talking about the game against the Lakers. We finished talking about that a while ago. A little post-game sound, though, about the future of the Warriors resting, and then KD about some, you know, memories of Steph and memories of LeBron, oddly enough. Anyways, a couple of things I wanted to get to before we wrap this thing up. DeMarcus Cousins, even though, look, this last game against the Lakers was a joke, the positives are over the last two games, he's averaging 24.5 points, 11.5 rebounds, and is 5 of 11 from 3, which is 45% from 3. Like I said, if that three-point shot comes along in the playoffs, forget about it. Forget about it. It's going to be nasty. So hopefully this is just him trending upwards. It's been weird that his shot, at least the three-point shot, hasn't really been there, but he's still working his way back. I thought he would take more jumpers just in general from either the mid-range or three, but hopefully that's coming along a little more, and we'll see more of that throughout the playoffs. As far as tonight's game is concerned, whatever. It's the Cavs at home. I expect a win. I mean, I expect a similar win to last night's game. Colin Sexton, solid player, but that's about it. As far as the Warriors are concerned, mop the floor with them, get another fourth quarter off. That's all I really want to see. I'd like to see some of these bench pieces play well going into the playoffs, but that's honestly, that's it. It's the Cavs. I don't know what to tell you. I'm racking my brain to try and think of something about the Cavs. Nope, nothing. Just go beat them. That's all there is to it. As far as the standings go, at this very moment, the San Antonio Spurs are the 8th seed. And that is preferable, in my opinion, as far as either the Spurs or the Thunder. Not that I don't think the Warriors wouldn't beat them in 5 or anything, but just the dealing with OKC and all the drama that would come with it. Would rather play the Spurs, but the problem is the Spurs schedule compared to the Thunder schedule is pretty light. Pretty light. The Spurs next 3 games are against the Washington Wizards, the Cleveland Cavs, and the Dallas Mavs. So it's not unconceivable. It's easy to believe that they would be 3-0 in the rest of the season. Which, compared to OKC's last 4 games that are against Detroit, Minnesota, Houston, and Milwaukee. So I'm guessing it will be OKC in that first round of the playoffs, but we'll see. Who knows? Maybe OKC sweeps the last 4, because one of the things that will be interesting is on that, the last 2 playing Houston and Milwaukee, they'll both have their seeding wrapped up. Houston and Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee already does. So at that point, are they even playing their guys? Are they resting their entire team? We'll have to wait and see. But it's, assuming everyone plays, that's a tough stretch. And regardless of who plays for against San Antonio in those games, that's an easier stretch. So we'll just, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Wait and see. Man, I'm so ready for the playoffs. I'm so over the regular season right now. But anyways, moving on to League Pass Picks 4 tonight. Should be a good schedule. I mean, a ton of games, which is funny because there was 3 last night. It's like, how do you schedule 12 on one night and 3 on another night? They had 12 games on Wednesday night, 3 games last night, 13 games tonight. So, man, I don't know. Picking games for this evening. Let's see. Portland at Denver. I like that. I mentioned that Houston might have their seeding wrapped up, but the thing is, Portland's only a half game behind them. And if Denver loses, that just gets the Warriors one more game closer to wrapping this thing up, wrapping up the 1 seed. Houston's taking on New York, so, you know, they should keep pace with their situation as far as wins and losses go. They should easily handle New York. Boston at Indiana is another good one. I feel like they've played 10 times in the last 2 weeks, but that's probably going to be a first-round matchup. And I don't understand what's wrong with Boston. I don't get it. I'll never understand it. So there are your picks. We'll go Portland, Denver, and Boston at Indy. Enjoy those, and come back later for another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.